Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Schofield here, and thanks for joining us tonight on your program, Raising Expectations. Comes live every Monday night. You can follow us 7 days a week right there on bbsradio.com, Raising Expectations, and on all the regular places you go to find things on your computer. So tonight we're excited to have part two of what we began last week, and so we're going to move right along so we can use all the time as the best possible way. As you know, we're all born again Christians, and somebody said to me, "What's that mean, Joe?" That simply means an easy way. We believe God is who he says he is. The Bible makes it real clear, and the Bible says how much he loves us, and the Bible tells us very clearly that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, as you know, to die for our sins, to die on a cross. He was perfect. Somebody perfect had to pay the price for our sin because God's a holy God. If he wasn't holy, nobody has to worry about it, but he is. So therefore, our sins are paid for on Calvary. And we hope that all of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you put your faith in him, that you believe he died for you, and you believe how much he loves you, and that you do believe, as we know is true, he's ready to raise your expectations. So tonight we have, again, a very special guest. You know our team. I'm going to just fly through our team tonight so we can move on to our time. And if you just met them, get a hold of me during the week again, I'll fill you in some more. But you know, on the West Coast, we have Dr. Paul Hall in Lompoc, California. Paul's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's just a great guy. You all know that already. So good to see you, Paul, coming to us live and direct from the West Coast. All right. That's it. And if the two of us make our way all the way to the south part of the East Coast there, we'll find Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, who are back. They were having a difficult time with a little bit of that bug. Everybody fights now and then, and Paul's been working on that too. We've been praying for you. It's great to see him. Stephanie right there is a health and wellness coach. She is also a counselor who does a great job working with women all the way across the nation. Go on to our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectation. And there you'll find it. In fact, this week you look, you'll see Denise right there on our website, Raising Expectations. And on there, you'll also find all of this wonderful team. You'll find her website listed on there, Live Your Life Out Loud. And when you know the Lord is your Savior, you can't wait to live your life out loud because God is working and he always gives you things that encourage others through the testimony and the life and the heart that you have for others. Stephanie's all about having a heart, and many, many people, ladies across this country, know this and would share that. So Steph's on the left, and on her right is a great guy, a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He did a great job. She really took care of molding him. She's done a great job. But Tank, there is a surgeon. That's Dr. Craig there. We call him Tank. And Tank is a trauma surgeon, someone who's on the cutting edge. When someone says, "What do we do now?" they say, someone says, "Call Tank." So he kind of figures out where to go. He prays. You'll also find his book on our website. He's a first-time author in a great book called Saved. You'll find it there. It's simply one true trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. And you'll find in that book, Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary. As you always say, the ordinary is where God loves to work. And I'm an ordinary guy. I love to see him work, and I bet you are too in your life. So you want to get your copy of that book. And right above that is my book on the third edition there, Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. That's what faith means. It produces an authentic hope that you can count on. So I hope you'll be able to get a copy of that book for yourself right there on our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And I hope you get a copy of that book just for yourselves. So also, if we come back to the West, from Florida, you're going to end up there in West Texas, in McKinney, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex area. And you'll find one of our favorite guys, Pastor Ron Greer. And Ron's there, and he's with us tonight right there. And as he tells his grandkids, he's not really old. We're the old guys. He's younger than we are. But Ron's another one of our family. We just love, this is our family. We love sharing with you. Ron is a special counselor with Man in the Mirror. He has run for Congress. He has been a pastor. He's done so many things. He's an area director there. And you'll find him there on Man in the Mirror website. You'll find it right on our website. You can look it up. You can read about it. And you'll find that he has the purpose for being there. Ron McKinney. Ron Greer in McKinney, Texas. You can call him any name you want as long as you get a hold of him, and he shows you how to lead with purpose. Okay, I want to go through that quick. That was, if you're old like me, that was from 33 and a third to 78 on the big album. So we were going fast. Thanks, Dad. You remember that? Yeah, what's that mean? So our special guest tonight is back with us. We count her as family because she is so special in what she does. She has incredible insights into what happens in the world politically. I'm not going to read. You've been reading all week because you've gotten back to me on all of our fronts that you find, especially on Facebook. I always keep the main article going there to everybody. And Instagram, you'll find all those. But she is with us tonight, Denise Gary Pandol, Insights into Prospering the American People. She ran for Senate here in the state of California. She would have been the best senator the state's had since they can remember, Denise Gary Pandol. You'll see some of the things here that our engineers put up about her. We really appreciate our engineer, TJ Newsom, who does such a great job. So Denise is with us right now, and we're going to give her the round of applause that comes live and direct from all of you. Welcome to Raising Expectations.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it. It's nice to see all of you again tonight. And thank you for all those in the audience that are listening. So again this week, since I have an opportunity to be honored by being on this program again. Thank you, Joe. I just want to call all of you to action. So there's going to be numerous things that I would love it if you'd make a telephone call to the president's comment line. Every time you pick up the phone and leave a message for the president on the comment line, it's assumed that at least 1,000 Americans believe that same thought or concept or belief. The president's comment line is 202-456-1111, 202-456-1111. And perhaps even more importantly, on some of the issues that I want to raise tonight, you'll want to call the two senators from your state. Now, if you're here in California, our two United States senators, one of which I ran to defeat, is Adam Schiff. So contact Adam Schiff if you're here in California, because he is your United States senator and he is a Democrat. But we need him to know that thousands and thousands of Californians, you know, believe some of the things that we'll be talking about tonight. Alex Padilla is the other United States senator. The number is 202-224-3121. Again, your U.S. Senator's number is 202-224-3121. So you may be in Texas. You may be anywhere in the United States. That is the number in Washington, D.C. to call. That is also the number that you call when you want to reach your representative in the House. Now, tomorrow, and going forward, this next week and the weeks ahead is a very important piece of legislation. That legislation is part of what President Trump calls the big, beautiful budget bill. It's one big, beautiful bill. And what it will do is it will provide $2 trillion in spending cuts. It will provide $4.5 trillion in tax cuts and $1.5 trillion in terms of lowering the deficit here in the United States. So I hope that you'll call them and demand that the House and the United States Senate get this bill passed. This bill is part of the reconciliation process. This is a legislative issue that allows for faster consideration of a bill to be introduced. It limits the debate and it helps prevent the Senate from being able to filibuster the bill. Now, it's possible that the Democrats will filibuster this bill anyway. They'll work very hard to overcome the filibuster rule. So they came against the Republicans last go around during the Biden administration. We couldn't have any filibustering of Democrats, but it'll likely happen against the Republicans. So please, whether you have a Democrat or a Republican in the House of Representatives representing you, or a Democrat or Republican in the United States Senate, contact them and tell them to get the bill passed. Again, real quick, what are the spending cuts? $2 trillion. So you tell Adam Schiff, if you're here in California, and Alex Padilla, you want that $2 trillion tax cut. And don't let them tell you this is not a middle class tax cut. This is a middle class tax cut. It's also a tax cut that will promote small business growth across America. Small businesses are the economic engine that drives economic growth in America. And it's also important to understand that this bill will also further help deregulate. And if you care about ending inflation, you have to know that the oil industry, energy is has been the primary cause, the lack of it, the lack of support for it, the fact that Biden, during his administration, increased the taxes, made it difficult. Democrats across the nation made it difficult for anybody in the oil industry or the gas industry to be able to get a loan from a bank, a business loan from a bank to grow the business. They made it impossible to get permits in order to build the road from the highway to the well. They made it impossible for underground pipes. It's called regulation. So they did everything they could to prevent any further growth in oil and gas. And of course, we know in California, Gavin Newsom destroyed almost every single nuclear facility. Nuclear is extremely clean, extremely safe, and the latest technology with respect to nuclear is fabulous. Nuclear energy is cheap and safe and clean, just as is natural gas. So, in fact, you might, if you're here in California, you might remind your representatives from California and our US senators, California used to be number one in terms of energy exports. So this is a big deal. This bill needs to get passed. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, changing the subject and going, and all this has to do with national security too. Let's just talk about that for a moment. So when you have a pro-growth economy and people are prospering, you have to understand that that allows our national security to grow. It allows us to be able to do the research and development that we need militarily, that we need in the medical field. I mean, think about it. We cannot do what we need to do militarily. I think about President Trump's decision to have a space force. Because China, Communist China, North Korea, and Russia, they were weaponizing space, wanting to create literally a space war, which is why Reagan, back in the day, had initiated Star Wars and that program, which was defeated at that time. But he had the foresight to understand that space would be weaponized. So, and it already is. So we need economic growth and prosperity so that we'll be able to fund and support our technological superiority. As I pointed out last week, China has the largest standing army. China has the largest navy. Russia can continue to make trillions of dollars on the sale of oil and gas to countries like China because China wants it, because China has also been entering into international waters and depriving Southeast Asian countries of access to international waters because they have been building islands and building literally armed bases, military bases on islands that they're building in the South China Sea, and they're weaponizing them with hypersonic ballistic missiles. We don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I just want to say, you know, economic growth and prosperity is tied to national security. It all works together, and it's extremely important. If you want to win wars, you have to be dominant in terms of being dominant in the energy industry. Moreover, it'll give us leverage when we're negotiating with our allies to get what we need from them. Oil and gas is a big deal and it's important, so we need it. So let's pivot. I want to talk about a bill that was introduced called Countering Online Radicalization and Terrorism. Countering Online Radicalization and Terrorism. We need a yes vote on this. So what will this legislation do? This legislation will empower the Department of Homeland Security. Now, let's talk about the mandate for the Department of Homeland Security. So the mandate for that department was, and it was founded, if you recall, remember 2003 after 9/11, George Bush, Dick Cheney, you know, president, vice president at the time, created Department of Homeland Security. And its mandate was to monitor Islamic terrorists operating in the United States and around the globe against our security interests, because we have embassies and consulates and businesses and humanitarian groups all over the world. And so, you know, this was part of their mandate, was to protect Americans at home and abroad. At any rate, Obama changed that and Biden changed that. And they said it was inappropriate and it would be, they would make it a criminal offense to put Islam together with terrorism. So it became out of fashion and politically incorrect to talk about Islamic terrorism in the Department of Homeland Security. And if you recall, I mentioned my late fiance was found with a bullet through his heart because he had been one of those individuals that had been targeted. I'm not saying who, I have no idea what happened. I have no idea who killed him. I'm not trying to suggest anything here, but I am saying that he blew the whistle on the Obama-Biden administration, testified before, for example, when Ted Cruz was the chair of the Intelligence Committee, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, there was a lot going on at that time. And, you know, people were targeted by the Obama-Biden team, and they went after them in terms of trying to press criminal charges. So Philip Haney, my late fiancé, just retired from DHS rather than continually be a target of recrimination. And several and other people did as well. I'm just saying that we have an opportunity to refocus the Department of Homeland Security and find out what's happening across America. We just learned, as some of you may have heard, if you're reading the papers, et cetera, that Hamas stands for, it's an acronym for the Islamic Resistance Movement, that Hamas has actually been working with and sponsoring protesters on university campuses. So getting back to the point I was making, please call your representative in the House and in the U.S. Senate and be sure and ask them to pass the Countering Online Radicalization and Terrorism Act that will require DHS to conduct annual assessments on terrorism threats to the United States by organizations like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, all of these various terrorist groups, of which there's several more. We're not going to take time to talk about them tonight, but they're numerous. And so, I don't even know why we have to have legislation on this, frankly. I mean, again, this was the mandate of DHS, but it seems that so much has happened during the Obama administration and then the Biden administration. Republicans think apparently it's necessary to pass this piece of legislation. So there you have it. I guess that's all I want to say on that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I'd like to talk about, if it's all right, legislation that needs to be passed here in California, and you may have the same kinds of legislation in your state too. If you're living in California, I want to encourage you to call your assembly. Now, this is, to call your state assemblyman or woman, you're going to have to look it up on the internet. But Assembly Bill 1058 here in California will stop, literally stop, the price of gas tax. So here in California, we pay the highest taxes on gas than any other state in the union. So if you say yes to Assembly Bill 1058, that suspends the gas tax. And if you say yes to Assembly Bill 1268, it will stop any further increases to the gas tax. And again, I encourage you, if you're in another state, you may want to look, if you want to lower the gas tax in your state, maybe you don't even have a gas tax in your state. I don't know. But here in California, it's terrible. I mean, you spend more money on the tax than you do on the gas that's going in your car. So
Agreed.
it's bad here. Anyway, I wanted to mention that. And if you're here in California, say no to Assembly Bill 1333. Assembly Bill 1333 will allow people here in California to use to it'll prevent people in California from not being able to use deadly force if they feel their life is threatened inside their home. So you want to say no to Assembly Bill 133 because every person has a natural right to self-defense.
Amen.
And it
Amen.
shouldn't be legislated out of existence by the California State Legislature. So there you go. Okay, moving on. I wanted to share some important information about USAID. So there's been a lot of pushback by on President Trump and his administration for temporarily suspending the budget of USAID. So USAID has been found to do the following. I just like to run through this list quickly. If you'd like to write it down, that's fine. If not, I encourage you to go to the Middle East Forum and check it out. But anyway, key points here. There's four. World Vision, I don't know if any of you are familiar with World Vision, but World Vision has been known for giving money to Palestinian groups. And if you're giving money to a Palestinian group like the Islamic Relief Agency, it's going to fund terrorism. And I want to remind everybody, if you're anti-Semitic and you don't care about Jews, you might care about Americans. And remember the Taylor Force Act that was passed into law by the Republicans in the House and in the Senate back in what was it, 2018, 2019, the Taylor Force Act and signed by President Trump was because that American young man who had served
Yes.
in the United States military, several tours of duty, managed to stay alive through all of that. Join an MBA program in America because he wanted to get a master's degree in business administration. Went to Israel with his new bride and classmates to study startups because Israel is famous for being one of the top nations in the world for successful high growth startups. And he was stabbed to death again by a terrorist from, you know, quote unquote Palestinian. What is a Palestinian anyway? It's an Arab. And generally they're Arab and they're Muslim. But they could be Arab and Christian and anti-Semitic too. But anyway, it's usually Arab and a Muslim. That's who Palestinians are. Where did the Arabs originate from? The Arabian Peninsula. So wherever they went, regardless of what nation state they may have gone to, whether it was Mesopotamia, which was called Iraq later, whether it was Assyria that was called Syria and Lebanon later, I mean, regardless of how the Allies carved up the Middle East at the close of World War I, the point is there are Arabs and Egyptians. Okay. So anyway, World Vision and the Islamic Relief Agency received U.S. aid that went to people connected with Al-Qaeda. Number two, it went to, USAID went to an organization called Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Now, this is a non-government organization. NGOs in the Middle East, if they're not Jewish and Israeli, they're going to be what? They're going to probably be Arab and Muslim. And much of the Christian Middle East is also very anti-Semitic. And I found that out from the students I had in my classroom that were escaping the Middle East when ISIS was spreading throughout Syria and Iraq, etc. And we had at that point in time a lot of families and people escaping the Middle East that were Christians trying to get out because of ISIS. And there they are sitting in my classroom. And you say anything about Israel and they're going berserk, even though they're Christian, even though the Jews gave them the Bible, even though the Jewish people introduced monotheism into the earth realm, even though Jesus was a Jew, as was his family, even though God said they are his chosen people, and God defined their territory in the book of Genesis, despite all that, they're anti-Semitic. So, and if you say, you know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem into a Jewish family, and he was a rabbi that taught in the temple, in the synagogues of that day, you know, I just, it's a concept that they can't get their head around. But anyway, moving on. Pray for them. Pray for them. Okay. The Jamal Trust Bank in Lebanon, funds were funneled to Hezbollah. Hezbollah is backed by Iran. It's a word that means party of God. It was established by the Ayatollah Khomeini for the purpose of spreading terrorism around the globe. And Hezbollah cells in America are well organized. The next one, Bayader and Unlimited Friends Associate, Bayader and Unlimited Friends Association. They have ties to senior Hamas figures. They received U.S. aid. So let's understand that U.S. aid is your money. It's your tax dollars at work. And I don't want my tax dollars going to a terrorist entity. The last one I want to mention, USAID's foreign aid system has given billions of dollars to individuals associated with Al-Qaeda affiliates in Syria. Which brings me to the next point I wanted to raise tonight. Please pray for the Christians, Catholic or Protestant, Orthodox, and the Alawites. Alawite is a Muslim sect. Please pray for them, because if you have children and grandchildren, you know, you picture them. I mean, they're being barbarically killed. You know, it's not necessarily just a bullet through the head. I mean, children are like Hamas did to those Israeli babies and children. I mean, with their bare hands, they just set them on fire or, you know, did brutal things to them. So pray for the Christian community and the Alawite community and all the other minorities in Syria that are targets of Islamic terrorists in that area. And pray for Israel. Israel is working to maintain a buffer zone in southern Syria to protect its population. And I certainly hope and I imagine the Trump administration would be supportive of that, because I know the Trump administration has always stood with Israel. And that's good, because as I pointed out last week, Genesis, I think it's chapter 12, verse 3, says that, you know, the nations will be blessed that bless Israel, and they will be cursed that curse Israel, because through Israel all the nations of the world are blessed. And indeed we have been, because we've received God's word, and we've received tremendous, as I pointed out, medical breakthroughs, military breakthroughs, all kinds of fabulous technological advancements in every area of humanity. And I think I mentioned last week, didn't I, Joe? I mentioned how drip irrigation came out of Israel, how those fog capture systems that will pull the moisture out of the air and provide pure, clean drinking water for those areas that are suffering from a lack of water, like California, which has no lack of water. We just haven't been storing it. But anyway, I wanted to mention that about the Christians that, again, that we keep them in our thoughts and prayers, and that President Trump and his administration work very hard to fight to clean up these NGOs that are funding terrorism, like UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Works Agency, in the Gaza Strip and in Judea and Samaria, which is called the West Bank. I want to call everybody's attention, by the way, to this that just came out. Israel has a new IDF. IDF means Israeli Defense Forces. So they have a new chief, IDF chief. And this new IDF chief apparently is devout. And he visited the Western Wall the other day. And at the Western Wall, he prayed and he wrote down his prayer. And I thought it was powerful, and I wanted to share it with you. It hearkens to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3 states, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." So the mountain of the Lord is what? Jerusalem.
King David.
Zion, the city of Zion, Jerusalem. It's on a hill. "And many people shall go up and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God.'" So the house of God, you know, the temple that was destroyed and is to be rebuilt. "To the house of the God of Jacob." Jacob's name was changed to Israel, as you know, and from his loins, the 12 tribes of Israel. "And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in God's paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The word of the Lord did come out of Jerusalem. Jesus is the word. Does it not say so in the New Testament?
There he is.
Jesus is the word. The word was God. The word is God. The word will always be God.
And he put that in the wall. The head of
and he
idea.
Put that in the wall. And I just, and he, in his note, he signed his note with that prophecy. That's how he signed it. And he said, "When the nations of the world will come up to Jerusalem seeking to learn God's word from his people Israel, may God grant him blessings and success. And may we see plainly all of his prayers come to pass quickly with our own eyes." I mean, for the Israeli Defense Force chief, newly appointed, to say something like that. I don't know. I thought that was pretty powerful.
Yeah,
anyway,
that is.
So what happened when... So what happened when Israel defeated the Arab armies in 1967 and retook Jerusalem? Jerusalem has always been part of, you know, Israel, the Jewish nation, for 4,000 years. What happened?
Moshe
Much to the
Dayan.
shock of many people, Moshe Dayan, who was the military, you know, leader at that time, allowed King Hussein of Jordan to continually control the Temple Mount so that no Jew or Christian, even today, since that time, can, what is that sound? Can go up and pray on the Temple Mount. And there's horrific disrespect on the Temple Mount, by the way. I mean, there's guns and all kinds of ammunition that's been hidden in the Dome of the Mosque. There's been terrorist attacks on the Dome of the Rock. I mean, you know, that's the Muslim term for the mosque. And of course, it's historical tradition. Anywhere where there was a church or a synagogue throughout the Middle East, where Jews or Christians once worshipped, it's always been the goal of Muslims in those areas to destroy that synagogue or destroy that church and build a mosque on its ruins. And of course, we saw that precedent in Jerusalem with respect to the Dome of the Rock. Actually, there's two mosques up there. But anyway, I wanted to mention that. And I wanted to mention that, again, if you would please contact your representatives in Washington and the president's comment line and advise them to please remove every student on every university campus in
Yes.
America. I don't care if they came here legally or not. They could be here legally. The point is they should not be here if they're promoting Hamas, which covenant specifically speaks to the genocide of the Jewish people and actually the murder of Christians. I mean,
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a Jew. I mean, if you're caught, you could easily be killed. So it wouldn't be a thought to them to slit your throat.
No.
Just because you say you're a Christian, that doesn't mean anything. It might mean something if you say you're from the United States. They might think twice about it because they know they could bring down the wrath of the U.S. government. But I mean, apart from that.
Yeah, I think Alan Dershowitz today said it perfect when he said the question is not what you just said, because what you said is absolutely clear. Amen. But he said it's not about free speech. It's what they do with free speech. And when will we wake up to see what that means? It's right what you're saying. Excuse me.
Yeah, people shouldn't be allowed to come into our country from foreign countries and create disturbances that prevent students who have spent, in some cases, $95,000 to $100,000 to get to a class, and they cannot get to the class or to the library or even go on campus without being harassed, intimidated, and occasionally beat up. So, you know, you should be able to go to a university and go to class and go to the library and do your research and do your study without harassment. When I was in graduate school, and I specialized in Middle Eastern affairs, and I remember kind of being hounded by some of the Muslim Arab students because the School of International Relations Middle Eastern program was filled with Muslim Arabs and people from the Middle East, because, you know, the wealthy in the Middle East sent their young men, not the women, but the men, to USC. I had to work my way through school. I worked my way through school and got loans, but they were sent by the leadership from those countries. And there was a real pressure there and intimidation.
You know, Denise, that is so interesting. This might be a great spot to jump in. We've got like 12, 13 minutes. And let's the questions that some of the this information is incredible. I know Ron's got some questions, and I should pull and maybe take maybe it's just a thought to feed back on this, because this boy, this is really where we live.
Well, I would champion what President Trump has already proposed, but I would ask him to go further. One is not only taking federal funds away from universities that allow the protests, kicking the students out who are kicking students out of school, but also ones out of the country that are engaged in it. But what the thing that they haven't mentioned there, and that's critical, is what you're seeing on college campuses now is a result of work done by CARE and Islamic organizations for probably 20 years.
So CARE, Foundation, thank you. So is there
CARE
a question?
CARE is a terrorist organization.
Did you have a question?
No, I'm saying CARE. CARE, unknown to most folks, CARE is this respected organization, but they're a terrorist organization.
Yeah, they are.
The reiteration of the Holy Land Foundation all over again.
CARE is the Council of American Islamic Relations, and they are literally a mouthpiece for Hamas. But I do want to say this about the Trump administration. I do hope you'll call the president about this issue. Yes. So the Trump administration has sat down in Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to determine, with Hamas representatives in Doha. Well, when I went to graduate school, we said Qatar. And now I notice that everybody says Qatar. So whatever. The fact is the president has sent Adam Bowler to sit down across from Hamas representatives in Doha, which is in Qatar. And I have to disagree with the president on that one, because I believe that it affords Hamas legitimacy.
Yes.
And I think that we should have never done that. When Ronald Reagan negotiated with the Palestine Liberation Organization, I thought it legitimized the PLO, which we never should have done, because that created a situation on the ground that Israel then had to deal with.
Still
possibly looking at statehood for a criminal organization that was committing the random and indiscriminate killing of innocents for a political objective.
Yes.
And then, of course, Dennis Ross built a career through the Clinton years on sitting down with the PLO. Of course, Obama and the Trump administration sat down with the Taliban in Qatar. I just think those types of things are not the best way to negotiate a peace. I think you have to use back channels and go through intermediaries, because you don't want to at any point in time have a picture of an American diplomat talking to the leadership of a terrorist organization that burned infants alive in ovens.
You know what a picture can be used, right?
I'm sorry?
You know the propaganda in the country that picture is going to be used for.
Right. So I'm saying that I hope that you'll contact President Trump and suggest to him that possibly this is legitimizing Hamas, the Islamic resistance movement, by sitting down with them in luxury hotels in Doha. As people, Palestinians, who, by the way, have supported this brutality. I mean, remember, the Arabs in the Gaza Strip voted for Hamas.
Yes.
They either support Hamas and the Hamas covenant for Jewish genocide, or they support the Palestinian Authority, which has promoted Jewish genocide. In fact, there's attacks almost on a daily basis in Judea and Samaria, which the media refers to as the West Bank. But my point is that, well, I think about Senator John Kerry. I wanted to mention this. He was the first lawmaker to visit the Gaza Strip about a decade ago during Democrat, leadership in the White House. And that was really set a horrific precedent that helped legitimize Hamas. Yeah. So we need to delegitimize them. So I guess what I want to recommend, and if I had the opportunity to talk to President Trump, what I would say to him is, that might it be better to use Egypt and Jordan and their leadership to address Hamas behind closed doors where the public cannot be able to view it, take pictures of it? I mean, you know, these are back channel communications so that they don't receive any legitimacy and continue to make it clear that they will be annihilated, especially if every hostage that's alive at this moment is not free. Every hostage that's alive needs to be set free now. And I was a little disappointed that I haven't seen more movement, but I think Trump has been deferring to Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, who's been attempting, you know, to get his people out safely. But remember, some of those people were Americans. That were living in Israel or vacationing in Israel. So, you know, I just think we need to be very careful in terms of, I know the impulse to save lives is great, but how you go about that, you know, is extremely important. So let's do, you know, we need to really pray.
That's
that we
a
don't
key word.
Further legitimize Hamas.
Looking at our time again, we've got about 5 minutes.
Is it already? Oh, my gosh.
Time flies. I have fun. Just keep sorting up the good stuff. And I really did. I just wanted to thank you for being with us tonight, Denise.
Thank you.
I know some of this team's not feeling good at all. I mean, hats off and kudos to Steph and Tank coming through this.
Sorry, Steph and Craig.
They're champs.
I'm
they're just,
too.
just champions. Yeah. She's and but the notes, what you've given us, these things that are on here, if you have any thoughts or maybe a couple of key thoughts you want to put to us, I'll put it out on the page to everybody also. It'll be printed out like what you saw today. And ladies and gentlemen,
Joe, I just thought of something. I could send you this legislative update that I give to the Eagle Forum here in Orange County, California every month. I'll just send you that update that I wrote, and it doesn't have all the things on the Middle East, of course, because I didn't get into that. But I'll send it to you, and that will have some of that information there, and it'll have the numbers, and
That'd
it'll
be
be
great.
something.
That
huh?
would be great. Yeah, we've
okay.
got, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Okay,
and,
great.
And we'll work this out. Boy, time flies. We had a good 50 minutes, and it was just, I don't know, we're with everything you shared and said is so factual and so noted and so set in truth, in calendared in dates with actual activities and events, that it makes it a picture that is easier for us to all see, for people to understand. So we really
Thank you,
appreciate
Joe.
Your background, your experience, the giving of your life, and also teaching. Also, you teach at a great Bible college I was reading about today in Bakersfield too. They think the world of you.
Well, my class finished. I, you know, the class is over. I don't know if they're going to invite me back or not, but we'll
see. They will. They love you. Some of
okay.
the Bible was there. They
okay.
think it was just great. Ron, you're just the best, bro. Thanks for coming in. And Tank and Steph, God bless you. We love you. I hope you're feeling better. And
yes.
Paul, try something a little stronger with. I'm just kidding. Something to clear that out. Bless your heart. Remember, it's just, you can't keep a good man down, Paul. So you're going to feel better pretty soon. And we know that's coming. Denise, real quickly, before we go out and we'll pass on everything tonight on our, you know, donations and stuff tonight. You're very quickly, how can we pray for you? We took them last week, and I had people text me that are praying for you. Just give us one liner that I can get out there. What's the best way we could pray?
I'd like President Trump to call me.
That's it. That's the one we're working on.
Come to go to work for the Trump administration. I like to be of service to the American people.
Amen.
And if there's any opportunity to work with respect to the United States and Israel, I would appreciate that. It would be the thrill of a lifetime.
Amen. And you would do such a great job. And you tell him,
oh,
you know, a great
you.
Show that really loves him.
Right here.
Yeah, that would be
That's a beautiful prayer request, Denise, because every time you're on, I take really extensive notes and I'm just blown away by your depth of knowledge. And so I I love that prayer request. I'm putting it in my prayer journal right now.
Oh,
We
thank you,
would be
Steph.
blessed. We would be blessed
Thank
as a nation.
you, Stephanie. I really appreciate that more than you know, because
Yeah.
I really
Amen.
believe in prayer. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey,
Thank
Steph,
you.
how about taking us out with just, prayer's length don't mean anything. They're powerful. So maybe say a prayer for Steph. Would you pray for her tonight for what you said? If you got enough voice, you okay?
As long as I don't cough, we're good.
That's
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this community, Lord, for the hosts, for Denise, for the listeners out there all around, Lord. I just lift them up to you. I ask that you go before them, you give them protection, you give them wisdom. But I thank you for Denise's heart. I thank you for the foundation, the knowledge, all of these experiences that she has had, Lord. Hear her desire
Yes.
to use that in such a way to honor this country, to be a part of President Trump's administration, whatever position that may be that can help glorify and honor the Middle East, the Jewish people, what you have said in your scripture. Let her
Yes.
have that be a reality in today's world, Lord, and just help her be a light and a
Yes.
positivity and your hands and feet as she goes, Lord. So open the appropriate doors. You know what those are. You do the unimaginable, and that is exactly what we are praying for because we know that you are good and you are capable. So also just go with Denise, Lord, as she's navigating just changes in her life and lead her and guide her and give her peace, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
All right,
Thank you.
ladies and
Thank
gentlemen,
you.
thanks for tuning in tonight. I know you got a
Thank you.
blessing. Take some notes, and we'll be back with you soon.
Thank you.
And maybe if we just run, we get her back in not too distant future back on our program again for you. We'll keep praying that way.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right.
Thanks. Thanks, Ron.
Thank
Thanks,
you so
Paul.
much. Okay.
Okay. God
Bye-bye.
bless and clear
Bye-bye,
you.
everyone. Nice
Bless you,
to
dear.
see
God bless you,
everyone.
Denise.
Yeah.
God bless
Thank
you.
you. Good to
Good
see you,
night.
you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Happy
Good
healing,
night.
everybody.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, to you,
Hey.
Stephanie, and to Craig and
Don't
everyone.
get the junk for the rest of
Yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Okay.
God bless you
Bye.
guys.
God
God
bless.
bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.